podcasting from baseball heaven, St. Louis, Missouri, home to float trips, gooey butter cake, and the Gateway Arch. This is the Navigate the Rapids podcast, where you find out how to effectively run and market your business. And now, here's your host, Will Hanke.
Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Navigate the Rapids. My name is Will Hanke. This is the podcast where we explain digital marketing in a way that's easy to understand. We talk about topics that will help your business grow and compete with some of the big dogs. And we get ideas and tools that will boost our bottom line and your exposure to potential customers. So speaking of today's episode, we're going to be talking about a couple things, something new that's going on in social media called Instagram hashtags. They're not necessarily new, but they've made a change to the system that you need to find out about. So we'll talk about that. We're going to have my little pep talk today, which is all about getting away from the desk or the cash register. And we'll talk a little bit more about it. And then we're going to talk about the main topic today, which is I'm going old school on you. And we're going to talk about domain names, what you need to know. Do you really own your domain name? Some of that kind of stuff. And then lastly, I'm going to talk about a featured tool that I like to use related to my domain name to make sure that things are working correctly. So let's get started. This past week, on my other podcast, which is called Did You Know, we talked about how now you can follow hashtags on Instagram. And this is pretty cool because it fixes a problem that was inherent to Instagram in the first place. And that was the fact that people used hashtags to kind of sort and segment their posts. But there wasn't an easy way to really follow them other than, you know, going on there and trying to do it manually. But there's some really cool things that you can do. You can put a hashtag on a post that obviously is very popular, and other people will be attracted to that. You know, they'll come see some of your stuff. It's very important that if you use hashtags, use ones that are popular, use ones that are obviously not misspelled, you know, that you're using things, and 3 or 4 is probably good for a post on Instagram. If you're sharing something, really kind of think about who it is you're sharing that with and what kind of things they would want to find out more about related to your post. So the update that I'm mentioning is important because kind of like following people, now you can actually follow a specific hashtag, and that hashtag will show up in your regular Instagram feed. So if there's maybe there's a person you like, but you also, let's say you like fitness, right? So you want to follow everybody who talks about hashtag cowbell or hashtag weight loss or something like that, right? So you might have some people that you follow that talk about those sort of things, but maybe there's a whole ton of people that you're missing out and not being able to get in front of. On the other side, as a business owner, it's hard to get people to follow you or your brand, but now if you're using hashtags on your post, maybe they'll stumble across you because they're following a very popular hashtag. So it's a good way to get in front of people that maybe didn't know about you previously. So this is really this is a great little way to do it. And you know, if you're not using Instagram, you know, that's okay. If it's not for you, then you probably shouldn't be there. Instagram's a very visual platform. So if you're doing roofing or something, then maybe people don't want to, you know, follow you, and you really shouldn't waste your time on Instagram. But if you're selling something that's a product, if you're selling something that requires, you know, beautiful pictures, things like that, it's a great place to be, and it's a great way to start getting some new followers. You know, get those hashtags in there. Put a little post about yourself or about whatever that is. Make sure you stick 3 or 4 of those in there and see if your follower base doesn't increase, and I'm sure it will. So, by the way, you can subscribe to Did You Know by visiting redcanoemedia.com/DidYouKnow. That's DIGIKNOW. My buddy Andrew McCauley and I do a podcast almost every Friday all around what's happened in the past week in social media, digital marketing, that kind of stuff. Really good quick podcast, 18, 20, 22 minutes. You know, so if you need a weekly briefing about what's going on and just want to keep up, that's a great way to do it. So, okay, up next is my little pet talk segment. So pay attention now. We're going to get serious for a minute. Today I want to talk about going to conferences. So last week I actually went to Austin, Texas, for what was called the Digital Agency Growth Summit. It was an invite-only event with around 300 digital marketing agency owners like myself from all around the country who came and attended this thing. And it was 2 days of just packed full of great information about running an agency and, you know, dealing with customers and understanding how to cut costs and, you know, all these things related to that. Now, everybody has these industry conferences, right? I'm sure you know of several that maybe you would love to go to but haven't or haven't been in a couple years. Well, this is my pep talk to get you back out there and get to one of those conferences. First of all, you're going to learn some really cool stuff, right? There's a reason that they put these on and that they come up with this list of speakers and topics and things like that so that you can build your business and that you can step back and kind of learn some different things. It's really important to step away, like I said, from the screen, from the cash register, from that machine you're running or the daily grind, and get around other people that are doing the same thing, and maybe they're doing it better than you. Maybe they've got some of the same struggles, or maybe they've figured something out that you have been trying to figure out for a while. The other side of it is the social side of it. I'm not a big social person when I go to these conferences. I kind of keep my head down, take notes, and scurry back to my hotel room. You know, but if you're a little bit more outgoing and you want to meet some other people in your industry, you know, this is a great way to do it. You can meet some friends from across the country, share ideas, share struggles, all these kind of things. You know, it's a great way to understand what's going on in your industry and, you know, maybe make a few pals along the way. So I encourage you to get out once or twice this year to something that's maybe in your town. Maybe it's in another city across the country. Whatever it is, you know, get out there and make sure that you're consistently learning new stuff for your industry, you know, so that you're separating yourself from the rest of those guys and you're really kind of, you know, stepping up a little bit, moving on beyond them. So anyway, that's my pep talk for today. Get out there and do something, right? By the way, if you are struggling with a particular task, maybe you have an SEO or a digital marketing question of some sort, I encourage you to tape your question audio. So, you know, get you a microphone, say, hey, Will, here's my question, here's my issue, and I will take that and feature it on an upcoming episode of Navigate the Rapids. And then, of course, I'll answer the question to my best of my abilities as well. So if that sounds like something you want to do and you want to get your question answered, and at the same time, other people might be struggling with the same thing, go on over to redcanoemedia.com/askwill and pop in there and make sure that you get your question in there for me. And like I said, I'll feature it on an upcoming episode of Navigate the Rapids. So, all right, let's get into our main topic today. Like I said, we're going to go old school. We're going to go SEO 101. We're going to go website generic here and talk about domain names. So there's a couple different areas and things that I want to cover around domain names. And the first one is how do I get one, right? For most of you, you probably already have one. And basically a domain name is like an address, right? It's where your website lives. It's the only one in existence. It's the place where your website lives. Nobody else can move in. Nobody else can buy that domain. Nobody else can register it or boot you out of it. It's unique. So you're the only one that can own that. Typically, you buy domain names from GoDaddy.com is probably one of the most popular ones. Great place to buy domains, you know, 10, 12, 15 bucks a year. They're not terribly expensive. So that's how you get those domain names. Now, the one thing you should know is that domain names do have expiration dates on them. So most people will go buy one, and the cheapest option is to buy for 1 year, like I said, 12 bucks, something like that. So they, you know, as a business owner, you buy it, and next year you'll register it, buy it again. Next year you'll renew, buy it again, and you know, just go year to year. Now, there is an advantage to bump your domain name out over the five-year mark. So what I always tell clients as part of doing like an SEO audit on their site, one of the things I tell them is that you need to go ahead and register this out at least five more years, preferably closer to the closest to 10 as you can get. So if you have 6 months left before it renews, it's time to go out there and bump that thing up 9 years so that it expires in 9 years and 6 months. And there's a couple reasons for that. First of all, Google, who is, believe it or not, an actual domain registrar, so they can actually get to the database of domain names and when they expire, when they've registered, all that kind of stuff. Google actually looks at how far out your domain name goes before it's going to expire and takes that into account when it comes to ranking your website. So if your website might be gone in 6 months because the domain name expires, you know, are they going to rank it well when maybe you're a fly-by-night, you know, and maybe you won't be around in a while? Whereas if you're sending them a signal that says our domain name doesn't expire for another 10 years, that gives them the little warm fuzzies that you're going to be around for a while. And, you know, your ranking can potentially be a little bit better because of that. Now, there are well over at least 300 things that Google's checking when it comes to ranking your website. So bumping your domain name out 10 years isn't going to move you to the number one spot. But it's one of the things that you can do, and it's a very cheap thing that you can do to start to move up in the rankings and get that thing registered out as far as you can. The other thing is, if you're doing year to year and you don't get those renewal emails from GoDaddy or whoever, and your domain name goes into a period where, you know, you either register it or somebody else can go and purchase it because it goes back out on the market, that can be a problem. You don't want somebody else to register your domain because you missed the renewal and you've got all your flyers and your business cards and everything now with someone else's domain name on it. So you definitely want to go ahead and spend that $100 or whatever it costs to get that thing bumped out as far as you can. Another thing that's important when it comes to domains is the fact that many business owners think they own their domain and they don't. So I've written a lot about this and I've come across this a lot too, and it freaks me out quite honestly, because it's one of the assets that you should have definitely as the business owner that you should have. But a lot of times what happens is you might sign up for a hosting account somewhere for your website, and part of the deal with the hosting is that you get a free domain name. Well, in a lot of cases, the hosting company is registering that domain name, and therefore they are the ones that own that domain name. So business owners don't even know that, yeah, I signed up for hosting, I own that, I have that. In reality, you probably don't. So it's definitely important that you own your own domain name. You know, it could be that you asked your web guy to register it for you. Well, then he owns it and not you. So one of the things that you can do is go online to whois.sc. So whois.sc, as in South Carolina, I guess, whois.sc. And what you can do there is you can plug in your domain name, your .com or .net, and it will actually tell you when it was registered, when it expires, who registered it, where the hosting is pointed to, things of that sort. Now, if you have paid, if you have registered it, like say at GoDaddy, and you paid extra for the private registration, then all the information is going to, it's not going to be there. It's just going to say some generic stuff. It won't have your name. But if you log on to Whois and you see that it's owned by web.com or some hosting company, or it's owned by your previous web guy from 6 years ago, you know, and those kind of things are problems, and you need to get control of that. The easiest way to get control of a domain is, you know, I use GoDaddy all the time, so you can go to GoDaddy and sign up for a website or domain transfer. Create an account on GoDaddy that's yours. Start a domain transfer, and then get that transferred into your account. So, sure, it's free with your hosting, but it creates more issues than is worth the $12 a year it costs for you to own that yourself. So definitely check out Whois and make sure that belongs to you ultimately. Another thing that's important is sometimes people change domain names. Sometimes people change business names. And, you know, okay, we're gonna rebuild our website. We're going to move everything over to the new domain name. And, you know, everything's going to be good. Well, there are some things behind the scenes that need to be done around what we call redirects, things of that sort, that basically sends a signal to the search engines like Google and Yahoo and Bing that says, we used to live here, but now we live at this address. Any authority or links or anything pointing to our old domain, please give all that credit to the new one, which is here. So what that does is creates a situation where you're not starting over with a brand new site. If you don't do those redirects and put those things in place, you're basically starting from zero. And anything that you've built over the last X amount of years on your old domain name, you're not going to get credit for any of that starting over. So it's very important that you make sure to do those redirects and that you have those in place if you decide to change domain names for whatever reason. Next, I wanted to talk a little bit about buying domains and buying competitors' domains. This is an easy one. Don't do it. It's definitely a can of worms you don't need to open. Buying some of your competitors' .com or .net, you know, just to have them, or even forwarding them to your website. I don't think it's a good idea. You could get into some copyright laws or some other legal issues that are probably just not a good idea. However, when it comes to buying similar domain names to yours, so buying your .net and .org, I would definitely recommend that you do at least those two. So the .net, the .org are probably the most common. The trick here is going to be that you don't want to get sucked into buying the .us and the .info and the .everything that's out there now. You could spend a ton of money buying all of those. The only reason to even buy those is so that your competitors can't. And like I said, they shouldn't, but you don't want somebody to own your whatever .net and putting up another website that competes with yours, right, with the same, almost the same branding, everything like that. So it's best to own a couple of those main ones just so nobody else owns them. Don't do anything with them. Don't forward them to your regular website, anything like that. Just own them and keep them in your pocket. Make sure you renew them, that kind of stuff. Definitely a good idea. Depending on what your domain name is, you may also want to think about getting some misspellings. If your domain is easily misspelled, if you can share it somewhere and people get it wrong. I had a client one time who had a website, www.thewwbeds.com. So their business was called the Waterworks Sleep Center. So they had the WW in there. But people would get confused. Wait, www.theww. So those kind of things, you know, if that's kind of the domain you have, you may want to think about rebranding, something that's a little bit easier to say, a little bit easier to communicate. The way that I love to talk about domain names is what I call the phone test. If you could pick up the phone and call your mom and say, Mom, go visit www.redcanoemedia.com or whatever your .com is, and then hang up. And Mom is able to do that just from hearing what you said on the phone and nothing else, no explanation, nothing else. You know, if you have a dash in your domain name, that throws in a little bit of confusion. Do they type out the word dash? Do they type out the word and? You know, these kind of things are confusing to people. So if your domain name can't pass the phone test, then it may be worth considering looking at something else that maybe is a little bit easier to understand. The other thing is, if you end up getting a billboard or you get a sticker with your domain name on the side of your truck, you know, on the back window, something like that, is it something that's easily rememberable, if that's even a word? Something that, you know, I saw your truck. Oh, yeah, I need to go to joesautorepair.com. Easy to remember, right? When I get home, I'll probably recollect it. I'll be able to type it in and go to Joe's website. If your website has dashes or it's a .net or it's something crazy, it's very likely that I'm going to screw it up when I get home if I remember it at all. So another great reason to have a really good one. The other thing that I wanted to bring up is keyword-rich domains. Years ago, people would buy keyword domains specifically so they could rank for a phrase, right? So I want to rank for blue widgets, so I buy bluewidgets.com. I buy blue-widgets.com, those sort of things to try to rank for that. Google's done a really good job about leveling the playing field when it comes to those. And if your website is, redicecubes.com, you could still rank theoretically for blue widgets. It doesn't matter about the domain name so much anymore. I mean, mine is Red Canoe Media, which has absolutely nothing to do with marketing, right? But I'm ranking fairly well in the local industry and around the country for some good terms because I'm putting up good content related to it and not because I'm relying on a keyword-rich domain name to kind of pull me through. So definitely important to make sure that you can pass the phone test. Lastly, the last thing I wanted to talk about is security. You probably heard around things around SSL and encryption. This is kind of a hosting thing, really, but it's also a ranking factor. So it's very important that if you have a domain name and you have a website, that it is secure and that it has SSL encryption installed on it. And most hosting companies now are giving this free as an add-on, a value add to buying hosting from them. The way that you figure out if you have this or not is simply go to your website and in the top left of that address bar, a little green lock should show up and it should say secure on it. You know, it should show that this website is 100% secure. Which brings me to the next thing I want to talk about, which is the tool for this episode. And the tool is related to SSL. A really cool, it's not really a tool, it's more of a website that I like to visit. And that website is whynopadlock.com. whynopadlock.com. So if you type in your domain name and you don't see that padlock, but you think you have SSL installed, or maybe you don't get the green lock, you get the yellow, this website is not 100% secure. WhynoPadlock will tell you which pieces are wrong and what to fix, whether there's a picture that is not secure, whether there's some coding behind the scenes that needs to be modified, those sort of things. And it might be something that you need to pass on to a web person or something to get fixed. But if it's a ranking factor, it's probably worth your time to spend a couple minutes in there and make sure that your website is secure. And if it isn't, go to that Why No Padlock, pop in your website address, and it will tell you why your website, well, why it doesn't have a padlock, I guess, right? So also, it's free, which is really cool, right? It costs $0. I love that. Why No Padlock, you can get in there. There's a couple other services out there like that. This one's pretty popular. It's the one I use all the time when I'm trying to figure out these kind of situations. So, listen, that's it for today's podcast. That wasn't too bad. I really appreciate you listening. I encourage you to visit redcanoemedia.com/NTR to subscribe, get notified about future episodes. Of course, all the information that you learn here helps, you know, businesses grow. If it does help your business, I'd really appreciate a review. I'd appreciate you jumping over to iTunes and leaving me a 5-star review. That would be wonderful. It helps me get the word out to more people, helps me be able to share my knowledge, get more businesses up into the search rankings, things of that sort. And lastly, all of the notes, links, anything that we talked about today, the tool, everything will be available at redcanoemedia.com/NTR. This episode is all about domain names. I appreciate you listening. Thanks a lot, and I will see you on the next podcast.